Okay, he gave me 5 minutes. After being in this church 20 years, this is my third time up here, so it's not really comfy. Just give information a little bit about my family. We have 3 children. My son's 30, live in Toronto, and he got married and had a son now, a year old. And my second daughter, 28, live in Blaine with 3 daughters and another one. Oh, two daughters, and another son soon come. And the youngest one, 21, live in Toronto also, and she's in her third year university. That's all I can say, I think. And thank you so much for your prayer and support. If you continue to do that, we are blessed, and thank you so for your love.
Still mic'd? Hello? There. I'm on. Church, it's good to be here. Patty had arranged for some pictures, but I'm not sure if they're supposed to hit. Okay, I'll run through them really quickly. Here's some of our kids from our dorm. You can see Patty is in the picture, in the yellow on that side. And then there's another picture of some of the kids studying out on the balcony of a church, and another picture of them. They were at a thing called Sunoco, where they learn how to work with spread the gospel to other people in their classes at university. Here again, more young people getting together. These are your brothers and sisters, and maybe that's it. Okay, so we are so excited to be back. I think I've heard people mention that this is a short home assignment, so you won't see us so often. A lot of the other times that we've been here, we've been around a lot, and we were able to come to church and be part of various functions that you have. This time, we will be bouncing all over the place, as far north as Kitimat, as far to the east as Calgary, and Toronto, and then we've been over as far as Comox out on the island. So it's time for me to bring the big show, because I don't have opportunity to do it a lot of times. I'm happy. It was great to work with Brian. I didn't know him, but he helped so much, so special thanks for him to help set this whole thing up. At the end, we will be out somewhere in the foyer there. Patty and I will be at a table, and you can come and talk to us. One of the things I have written down at the end of my notes here is to say, if you want our prayer letter, then please either copy our email address or else give us yours, and that way we can get you on the list. I totally somehow missed that last time I spoke, and then had to go back to that church and ask again. Anyways, we are very grateful to be back here, and it's been your prayers that have kept us alive. There are a ton of things that can go wrong in Cambodia. Various types of disease, wild, crazy drivers, animals that might want to try and kill us. So many things that you guys have prayed for and kept us. And we've also been able to plant and this time do quite a good harvest in Cambodia. So we're very excited, and it hasn't been us. It's you guys praying for us, and so we're extremely grateful for that. Some of you know that I am a third culture kid. Missionaries like to call it an MK. That's because I'm a missionary kid. Maybe you've heard of Marie Enns. Maybe her very little dancers have actually danced here. I don't know. But she often comes back, and she is actually in Saskatchewan now with a troupe of dancers. So she and my father were missionaries to Cambodia back in the 60s. And so I grew up pretty much in Cambodia. I married a Cambodian. Sometimes missionaries used to bring, you know, curios and things that from their country, and people could look at them and say, oh, that's what something from Cambodia looks like. I married one. So everywhere I go, I just go, here, this was made in Cambodia. there's not much about the country that surprises me, having been there so long. The traffic really still does surprise me because it's crazy. Though you have to really experience it. Some of you have been there, but others, you can't even look at a video. Nothing can prepare you for that shock. However, one of the things that I found in Cambodia that's very different from here is that they live in community with their family. It is not strange to find grandmother and then children of that lady and then children and then maybe even tiny babies again. There will be all of them living together. Usually they will have like the main house, and then as a child gets married, then they will have a little house right next to it, and then right next to it other houses, and then so you'll have multiple generations sitting down to eat. That's not something that we do so much in Canada, I don't think. And then when they ask me, "Where your mom lives here, right?" And I say, "Yeah," and they said, "Oh, why don't you live with her?" And I say, "Well, you don't know Marie Ann's like I know." I say, "Well, she does her thing over there, and I do my thing over here." "Well, why don't you? I can't believe that you would be so far apart. 35 minutes apart. That, who would ever do that?" So that's their thing. That's what makes them different. Cambodian people different from most of my Canadian, most of my people that I know in Canada. You know that this is the Christian and Missionary Alliance Church. The word missionary is in our name. That's our jam. That's what we do. We send missionaries. Those of you with white hair, I'm guessing there's a bunch of you, but the lights are bright. Okay, I'm sure you're there. You know, that's what we used to do for so many years, and we still do. We believe that we have the fourfold gospel that we're supposed to bring to the whole world. A.B. Simpson had this idea that he could bring back the king quicker if he could reach, because the Bible says, "And this gospel will be preached to the ends of the earth." Here, the ends of the earth. I love that because that's like my name is right in there. But the ends of the earth, and then the end will come. So this whole idea of this needing to be done, A.B. Simpson figured, well, then let's get it out there and bring back the king. He's our Savior, our Sanctifier, our Healer, our coming King. And you know that we have 440 churches across Canada. Globally, we have about 5,000 members. Globally we have millions, but in Cambodia we have about 5,000 members of the CNMA Church. There they call it the KEC, Kampuchea Evangelical Church. Currently Patty and I are working with, like Pastor Brian said, working with university students. Now we believe, Patty and I believe, and we're hoping to pass our vision on to you, that we can transform Cambodia spiritually as well as the actual face of Cambodia. We want you to join in helping us make this happen, because in Cambodia, there is a serious split between people who have and people who have not. I would say rich and poor, but it's a little different than that. But still, it's those who have opportunity because of money, and those who have no money and have no opportunity. City people know electricity, running water, clean running water. A lot of people actually drink it. You might not be able to do that in France, but apparently you can do it in Cambodia. They know about paved roads, cable television, fast food, and things that we in Canada would take for granted. Colleges and universities are in the big city. This creates a problem for country folks who want to have an opportunity to get a better education, because now they have to move out of their little thatch house out in the countryside, and where they have been working very, very hard. So a family might take their most promising child of, say, maybe five, And they'll take that most promising child, and then they will say, okay, we're going to sell the cow and send you to university. Now, maybe if you when you think about selling a cow, you think about a guy who's got lots of cows. There they would maybe have one or two. Their cow is not just a cow. It's a tractor. It's the semi that pulls their load to the market. It does so many things. It plows their fields. If they sell their cow, they've really got rid of their, like, I don't know what we can compare it to, like getting rid of our car or something so we have no way to get around. But then they go to the university, and they don't have much money. There is a possibility that they'll find something for $30 a month. It's going to be about as big as if you have kind of a smallish bathroom. That's their little hut. It's made out of corrugated tin. It's very hot. The bathroom, or a little squatty potty, is in the corner, maybe with a sink above it or a tap. They live in there. They sleep in there. If they have a motorcycle or a bicycle, they have to drag that in there with them. They study in there. And it's hot, and it's in the slums, and it's stinky. And their neighbors are addicts and prostitutes and people who sing loud karaoke. So it's really not a great place to study. And we saw this problem, and we said, certainly there must be something that we can do to help the situation. So we rent a row house. It's hard for me to describe this thing because it's like a lot of houses, about 4 stories tall. They're only about 5 meters wide. There's like a really steep staircase that runs up, 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 up to the top. And we rent that with donations from churches. This church also sends donations for that. We're very grateful for that. And because of that, we then have kids that come in. They apply to be students, to be residents. And then we say, okay, here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to be involved in a church. You have to attend a church, and you have to be involved in the church. You have to also take an hour a day of study from us in, like Pastor Brian said, in theology, in leadership, in discipleship, and in evangelism. And I also teach a course in English from the Book of Mark. So they have to take discipleship from us, and so we do that. And they're in there. We have girls on the upper floors and boys on the lower floor, so they can protect. And there are strong rules, and they're all good Christian kids, and they won't break the rules about going upstairs and downstairs. They know their place. They're good kids that way. Over the last 9 years, we have seen 54 young people pass through there, what we call the Student Residence and Discipling Center. Nearly all of them have graduated with a university degree. Some of them have graduated with honors and received their diploma from His Excellency, the Prime Minister of Cambodia. Some of them have become world travelers and pop around to various countries selling things or doing business. We have teachers, we have medical people, we have engineers, we have lawyers, bankers, accountants, and we really feel like we're changing the face of Cambodia. And we've been helping them to become strong followers of Christ. Now, that's all about what we should be doing. We should be doing that here. We should be doing that across Canada. And if you have skills that would help you do it in Cambodia, you should be doing it there. Cambodia speaks Cambodian. So here's some Cambodian. Jimrip suot ang oknia minit nas daban ru at mien mui. Okay, I just said greetings from Cambodia. Is there anybody here who can understand me? Nope, not one. Okay, Lynn Campbell. Good on you, Lynn, for remembering a few things there. Oh, and Leslie, of course, yeah. And Dean. Okay, well, there's so many of us here. In Matthew 5, 14 to 16, we read these words from Christ's Sermon on the Mount. Jesus has just finished talking about salt And then he says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do you light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, you put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, the third question that was asked of David, who was up in the aquarium earlier, in the baptistry, was about, would he be a light? Would he shine so that God would get glory? He said he would. Are you down here, David, yet? You get some dry clothes on? There you are. Good stuff. You are a light. You're the new light, a fresh bulb. All right? And you got some old guys around here that have been lights for a long, long time. But the idea here is that we want to do stuff not so that people will go, whoa, cool, I wish I was cool like you, Mr. Enns or David or whatever, you know. I want people to look and say, to God be the glory. Barry, thank you. You've been doing that a lot. That's giving glory where it's due. All right? I don't care. I don't need to get accolades from other people and say that I'm doing a good job. I just want to hear well done when I'm done. Right? So I want to be that light that shines bright. People have been saying this about shining bright for a long, long time. Pastor Matthew asked a little bit about what my topic was and, you know, maybe what we could do with some music like that. And if you noticed, there was a good theme about light. And I thought about other music that has the word light in it back in the oldie days. Pink Floyd said, shine bright like a diamond. Okay, that's an old generation. Let's bring it up a whole generation. What was it? Rihanna said, shine bright like a diamond. One was shine on you crazy diamond, and then the other one is shine like a diamond. We're supposed to shine. And the world knows it even. And that, what the reflection that comes off of us is supposed to get glory for God. I've told the kids in the dorm, in the Student Residence and Discipling Center, I said to them, people are watching you. They hear you sing. They see you pray. They see boys and girls in the same place. Maybe they have questions, but they're watching and they're looking at you. And what you do is going to be a reflection of who you are. And people are going to see that. So be careful what you do. Shine correctly, so that people will give glory to God. We ran into a bit of trouble with some finances. And because we ran into a little bit of trouble with some finances, word got to the students that perhaps we would close the dorm. Because they want to stay there for the full 4 years, we had a problem finding students. And it was like this toxic mix, because it was like, okay, if we had students, I'd be able to say, we've got lots of students, please give us more funds. But as it was getting lower and lower, and we thought, boy, I think we're going to have to start a new business, a new thing. And then it turned around, and we got some more students. But what we did was we said, okay, we're not going to be really strict on you must be a Christian young person to come to the dorm. And so we said, we'll allow this young lady, she seemed quite non-threatening, and we would allow her to come and be in our dorm, and she would be helped along. She would still need to go to church, she would still need to come to the various classes that we did, but she could go to her other to university and study. What wasn't very long, her name was Lekana, still is Lekana. Lekana Lekana came to see Patty after she talked with the dorm leader, and she said, "Those guys have something, and I want that. I want what they have. When they pray, they seem like they're actually talking, like, to somebody. And they have this inner peace and joy, and the way they get along, it's like a loving family. I want that." So it was explained to her what needed to be done. She was this close. It was easy, pushed her right off the edge. So easy. Because the kids at the dorm were so bright shining. And she wanted that. And so as soon as then we had her, and I thought, okay, this will be interesting because she's never prayed. She's a Buddhist. Buddhists don't really pray. They just make wishes, and sometimes they just do like sort of incantations or chants. So now she's actually having to talk, and sure enough, not long, and she was praying. I would say, okay, Lekana, will you open the session today? She prayed, and she prayed like she knew what she was doing. How many years was it later? Maybe 2 years later, I think. And then Melanie came. My daughter came to Cambodia, and she attended a class with us. And Lekana was, they said, "Does anybody have a testimony?" And Lekana said, "I do." Now she's boldly telling not just the kids, but there were other people that had been invited, how her life had been before, what happened. She found Jesus, and then she was talked about the path of going forward, and how she knew she had God helping her in her life. After that, we were kind of bold about having other people join us at the dorm. So we had said this other young girl could come. And sure enough, without much ado, she was saying, "I would like to be a Christian." So the dorm leader did most of the work and then brought her. And Patty led that girl to the Lord and then told the dorm leader, "Look, you've seen how to do this. We've showed you how to do it, and you've seen how to do it. You've had evangelism lessons that should help you seal the deal. You know what to do, so next time you do it." But everybody in the dorm was Christians, and so they waited, and then sure enough, we saw two other boys that wanted to join in. We thought, okay, let's try two boys too. So we let them in, and then I don't even think it was very long at all. And some of those guys, some of the kids from the dorm just thought, "We're going to get bold." And they just started working on these two guys. But again, it was because they saw this love, this luminescence that was so blinding that they wanted it. They said, "I want that." So they led those two boys to the Lord. And then they called us up and they said, "Hey, remember those two boys that weren't Christians? Well, now they are." Now, I don't know if your business is like my business. I mean, this is all I stand for. I want to teach people to lead people to the Lord, and then they do it. And it's like whatever my business is, if I had some kind of business in Canada where I had these various stages, that would be like bam, 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 done. And it's exciting when that happens. It gives me like a supercharge or something. I'm able to say, okay, I am getting older, but I'm going to keep going out there. If you don't believe it, my wife is like 51 years old. Okay? I'm 61, but she's the one that doesn't seem to change so much. So those of you who are new in the church, don't feel like you're just meeting. She looks the same as when we came in 2000, almost. But do pray. I'll just give these names out. You won't remember them, but they'll be... wouldn't it be cool if you did? Their names of these four new kids that came to the Lord: Lekana, Muntra, Chan, and Chri. You've heard them. If you just say those four guys, Jesus knows who you're talking about. So if you want to pray about that, they would appreciate that. I told them I'm going to be in a lot of different churches. I'm going to be telling your stories, and I'm going to be encouraging people, and they're going to be praying for you. So There you have their names. Lekana Muntra Chanantri. But even with fruit for our labors, we still have people come up to us and say, David, did we hear that your daughter is pregnant and due in June, and she's carrying a little boy, and your son lives in Toronto with the name-bearing grandson? That's what keeps my name alive. The N's name will continue now because of Theo. And people say, is it worth it? Going all like 12 time zones away from your grandson and your other grandchildren and your children and the people that you love and the country that you love and cherries. I love cherries. They're 25 cents a cherry in Cambodia. They sell four in a little styrofoam for $1 US. When we wanted to find some students who were from least reached people groups, we started focusing on the tribal people in Cambodia. Ravi was a little tribal girl about that high. Huge smile, monstrously huge smile. And she was a Christian. Later we have found out that it was just her and her sister were the only Christians in her family. And she came very shy, incredibly little English. I think she could say hello. But she worked hard, she studied hard, she wanted to be a geography teacher. And she was in probably her third year, and news came from the countryside that her mother had had a stroke. In Cambodia, the word for stroke is half dead, or dead on one half, which is a good description if you don't have the word stroke. So, Ravi left the dorm to go and help her mom. At this point, she'd had, like I said, 3 years of education. Her English was considerably better. She was a little bit stronger, I think, as a Christian, as a spirit-filled part of the body. She went back to take care of her mom. There's not a whole lot that Cambodia can do for somebody who has a stroke, so they just make sure that they're not bleeding or anything like that, and then they ship them home. Then the family can do whatever they can with them, and mostly they just lay in a hammock and they get pushed around. That's the way they take care of their babies, too. They put them in a hammock and rock the hammock. I suppose a person with a stroke is the same deal. So Ravi was there. Well, the tribal people, she's a Kui girl. She's from the Kui tribe. The Kui are not really Buddhist. They are animist. They believe in making blood sacrifices. They believe in incantations and witch doctors. They do a lot with spirits. So when mom is sick, the family said, well, we'll get her better. We'll kill some chickens, maybe a cow, and we'll also call a great shaman, and the shaman will do his magic and she'll get better. So the shaman was called, and the shaman made all these things. I wasn't there, but colleagues of ours were there, and they said it was such a dark time. It was so oppressive. The music is oppressive, the actions, the sacrifices. the incantations, everything was dark and gloomy and scary. And the guy was going to do his big deal and call forth some spirits. They said, go to the woods, to the jungle, where grandma's bones are buried, and we will call up grandma's spirit, and she will help make this lady better. They told Ravi and the sister, you must recant. And they said, no, we can't. We can't recant. They were all in the room, all these people, Ravi and her sister as well. And the shaman started his thing. And he made some gestures and he called out and all of this. And then at one point he stopped and he said, I cannot do anything because there are two ways in the room, two roads. Who said hallelujah? Doesn't that make your, like, don't you get goose flesh? I do. I know Ravi. She's so small. She's so frail. But she shone so bright that the big shaman was powerless. Yes, let's have a round of applause. Ravi's mom did not die. She has improved a little. But it was a really interesting, it was a kind of a strange catch-22 that we were in. Now, do we pray that she gets better? Because then they'll say, oh, okay, the shaman did do it in the end. Right? So she's not dying, but she's sort of manageable. So manageable that Ravi returned to the dorm with praise and thanksgiving and gives glory to God for what happened out there. She's part of an outreach team now that goes to a smaller satellite church from one of the bigger KEC churches in Phnom Penh. And she studies still and is a very close friend of one of those girls that I mentioned before, Lekana. Lekana's tall and Ravi is short. Lekana's thin and Ravi's a little less thin. Political correct. Okay? But it's very funny because I say, if you see one, you see the other one. Because they're always together. Both of them are learning at the same school, the same classes, both planning to be geography teachers. You have a job to do here and shine like these kids. The things that you do need to be done so that people will say, to God be the glory. Great things he has done. Okay. We'll do great things, but if we do them right, we'll reflect the glory to where it should be. Amen. Don't want the glory for yourself. In Cambodia, we always are faced with karma. And karma says if you did this, then you get this. And in their mind even, and this is the people who don't know the Lord, but in their mind, if you got your praise, well, then your praise is done. I think it's even scriptural. So you don't want to get your glory here. You want to store it so you can appreciate it in heaven. But you want to get glory for God. You want to be telling people about the good news. People who don't have it are dying to hear it. And when they hear it, it's so life-changing. But it always has to be good news. I don't know if you can remember. I often say this, so it's a really good chance that I've said this before, but this, it's still the same thing. It's good news. Never make it bad news. Never tell somebody the good news and them say, well, I don't want that. That's bad advertising. I used to sell chips. I used to work for Hostess Frito-Lay. Okay? So I used to go into a store and I would say, I think you need about 16 feet of chips there. And I'll put up a 6-foot high stack like that. You want these because they're in a Mylar bag. They're cooked in sunflower seed oil. They have a best before date, but I will remove them from your store well before the date. They're so crunchy. They're so tasty. You want them. Yeah, give me 16 feet. Go for it. Thank you. Ching, ka-ching. Never would I go in and say, this stuff is carbs on carbs, and it's going to be cholesterol city for you. You'll probably die. Now, both are true. But I'm not going to get 16 feet. And it's the same thing when you're telling people about Jesus. Don't come at them saying, you are going to hell. Because already you've lost them. You want to say things that are going to make them say, woo, glory to God, I want that. That's the light. I don't have to tell you, this verse talks about a city on a hill. Oh my goodness, Abbotsford, you can see it from a million miles away. As you're driving up, it's like, oh, see those lights up in the hills there? That's because you can see them. We shine. Make it shine. Be bright. Be shiny. Give glory to God. Don't be ashamed. This is a very dark world. You know that. Every time I come back to Canada, I'm like, wow, yay, I love Canada. Oh, Canada. Wow, is it ever dark? It's so dark. So be bright and shiny. Pray for the kids that I've talked about, the kids at our dorm. I want them to be bright and shiny in Cambodia. I want them to storm the gates of hell, and you break those gates down. And if you want to partner with us, if you want, oh, I did remember, we'll be at the table in the back, and you can get maybe a prayer letter from there, or you can copy down our email address, and then we can put you on our prayer letter list. Our prayer letter is called News from the Ends of the Earth. I'll try and get that out of your head. All right? You can join with us. You can be that light here and there. And we want this for God's glory. So please pray with me. Great Father, source of all light, we praise you. We thank you that you didn't keep all the light for yourself, but the light of the world stepped down into darkness. And we have that. And we can be filled by the Spirit. And we can be small imitations of the great light because we want to get glory for the Father. Make us bold, give us opportunities, but make us bold and dare to share the good news. Not from our own strength, but because of you and in your strength. And it's because in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church.